We will be in John chapter 10 today. We're gonna cover two I am statements today, where Jesus proclaims in different ways that he is God. Today we're going to be talking about I am the door of the sheep, and also I am the good shepherd. Is that kind of brassy? How's that? Is that better? Okay, next week we will be talking about I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last Sunday of the month, we will be talking about I am the light of the world and I am the true vine. So that's kind of how I've laid these out. This morning I said we're going to be in John chapter 10, which we are. The story here, though, really begins in the chapter before, in chapter 9. In chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind. And everybody was just all tickled to death about that, weren't they? This caused quite a, for lack of a better word, quite a hubbub, especially with the Pharisees. They threw a little fit. And in verse 18, that still sounds really, is that too loud? Okay. If it bothers you, let me know. In verse 18, it says the Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind. And so we've got this group of people, various groups of people, who are throwing a fit about Christ healing. It was the Sabbath, okay. But what did he do? How did he heal the man? He just spit and made mud, right? I mean, that's not bad. When I think of that, forgive me, but I think of, everybody watched the movie Outlaw Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood? I remember him spitting and hitting them bugs and stuff. He spit on that old dog one time. Anyway, that kind of makes me, you know, him spitting and making mud and healing that guy that had been blind from birth. Okay, so that happened, and then Jesus goes into this in chapter 10. And I know that my passage really doesn't begin till verse 6, but we're gonna look at the first part of 10 also. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. So the first words out of Jesus' mouth here are what? I tell you the truth. What does yours say? Truly I say to you, or what? I'm telling you the truth. If Jesus says that to you, you better pay attention. Now, they should pay attention because he had just healed a man that was born blind. And then he says, I'm telling you the truth. So they should really pay attention. And he says, he goes on and says, talks about those who sneak in are thieves and robbers. Who's he talking about? What was chapter 9 about? Okay. Can everybody see that? Susan, you may have to move up here. Okay, everybody see the sheepfold? That's a typical sheepfold. Now, sheepfolds were they varied a lot, okay? A sheepfold could be a rock wall like this, and this is what I picture as a sheepfold. A sheepfold could be, the walls could be made out of thorny brush. They still do that in Africa to keep lions away from the villages. It could be under a cliff or a bluff. Actually, the best ones, I think, were where a bluff had an overhang on it. Well, they would build a rock wall in front and just leave a door so that they could get under there. But the sheepfolds they varied a lot. But the one thing about them is they all had this door. See it right there? The door. Now, see, look how narrow that door is. We'll get into that in a minute. But see, look at the top of the walls in this one. They stacked rock vertical. Why do you think they did that? It'd make it harder to get over, wouldn't it? Those pointy rocks. I mean, for people my age, it would be hard to get over that.
That's the old version of razor wire.
Yeah, right. Some of them, I've seen rock sheepfolds with a rock wall and then thorny brush on top of the wall. That might help. You see that? All right. Yeah, that's perfect. In Matthew 21, we see Christ dealing with some people who were taking advantage in the temple. Remember, they were selling animals for sacrifices and changing money from Roman money to Jewish money and charging to do it, you know. And he calls them, he says, my father's house is, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. But you have made it what? A den of thieves, okay? So Jesus is not afraid to use these words when he is addressing people who are at fault. And here he says that these thieves that sneak in, or these people that sneak in, are over the wall. You can look at that and see. Now, this is a relatively small sheepfold. Some of them were as big as our parking lot across the street over here, okay? But you can see somebody sneaking over the wall to steal a sheep or to grab a lamb so that they go home and eat it, okay? Later on in the passage, it talks about those that come for nefarious reasons were there to steal and to kill, okay? So we can see, we can visualize somebody doing that, crawling over here. And I wrote this down. I've always heard this, and it's true. Thieves work harder at stealing than an honest man just working. You know? It's like these scam artists on the phone. You get any scam calls? Man, they work really hard at stealing from you. If they just get a job, it'd be easier. Anyway, and I want to ask who are the thieves that he's talking about here in verse 1? Okay, it could be false teachers. Okay, the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the judges, the lawyers, or those Torah teachers. What's that? Okay, he's getting on to these people specifically. These people wanted to gain influence with the people over, they wanted to, he calls these, or I do, they call them false shepherds, okay? They want to gain influence over the people, the sheep. A lot of them were self-appointed, right? God didn't say, oh, you have to have this group and that group. They did that themselves, didn't they? And so they're self-appointed, and they also sought financial gain along with the power they had. Remember, Jesus got on to the Pharisees one time because they were taking advantage of widows, stealing their houses. You know, that's difficult to comprehend, but that actually happened. And so they were taking advantage of people, the very sheep that they were supposed to be shepherding, okay? Now, through this whole study this morning, I want you to try to see this picture in your mind. We're going to try to paint a picture for you this morning about this sheepfold and the gate. Let's move along. Verse 2, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Okay, now, like I said, many of the sheepfolds were bigger than the one. I just thought this one looked cool, so that's why I put it up there. But a lot of them were much bigger. And I'm just going to kind of go through and describe this. I think that they would have multiple flocks in some of the sheepfolds, the bigger ones. Multiple flocks, multiple shepherds. They sometimes hired a gatekeeper, a doorman, okay, that would, his job, now this sheepfold doesn't have a door on it, but it's really narrow. And sometimes the shepherd or the gatekeeper would sit in the doorway with his knees up and lean back against the wall, and that's where he stayed all night. So he was the door to that sheepfold, okay? And the shepherds, some of the shepherds in the big sheepfolds, some of the shepherds would actually go and lay down on the ground with their whatever they slept on, in the middle of their own sheep. Some of them may have gone home. If this sheepfold was on the edge of town, they might have gone home and just depended on the gatekeeper to guard the flock at night. But a lot of the shepherds would stay with the sheep 24/7. Okay, the next interesting thing I think is not only does the gatekeeper know him, that's why he is able to go through the gate. Now, if a stranger came up and this gatekeeper's going, you don't have any sheep in here, what are you doing? You know, he wouldn't let him in. So that guy, if he wanted some sheep or something, he would have to be like we talked about before. He'd have to sneak over the wall and try to do it. But another thing is, look at this. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And he knows each one's name. I've got six cows left. Back in the heyday, we had 53, I think, at our highest. I got six old cows left, and they're getting pretty old. Ethel's been voting for 2 or 3 years. I got Ethel and Radar and Swirl and Wizzy and Chase. And, okay, I knew I was going to forget one. Ethel, Radar, Swirl, Woozy, Chase, and Redlegs. Okay? That's their names. And they know their name. Okay? And they know my voice. They can be off out there and I can just yell out, "You girls hungry?" And boy, their heads will pop up and, you know, they know my voice. So this is important, I think, that as we progress here, talking about Jesus being the door of the sheep, and then he goes on later on to talk about him being the good shepherd, I think it's important to note that the shepherd knows his sheep personally, and they know him personally, okay? I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. Some of you haven't heard it. I saw, you can't imagine how long I have looked for this again, and I cannot find it. But I saw a video one time, I think it was on YouTube, it was a short video of a shepherd in the Middle East, and there was a sheepfold that was back in kind of a like a box canyon, you know, and so the doorway or the gate was narrow, but it came out between two really steep cliffs there, and out in front of it was flat open country. All right, in the morning. And that, not just the one that I saw that I'm going to describe to you, but it was this way in any multiple flock fold. In the morning, the shepherd would get up, eat a little something, and start talking to his sheep. But he would walk out of the fold. You know, they would open the gate. Each shepherd, there might be four, five, six of them. And in the video I watched, they walked out there in the open country, one over here, one over there, one over there. And these guys were calling to their sheep. Now, how do you, some of y'all make fun of me. I'll tell you, we used to call cows, whoop, you know, and they, boy, here they come. These shepherds were calling their sheep, and the sheep are all just coming out together. But you would see this sheep break off and go to that shepherd, and this one go to that shepherd, because they recognized the shepherd's voice. And if one of them was dumb, the shepherd could call him by name. Okay? And it was an amazing thing to see on video, these sheep separating themselves to their own shepherd, following their shepherd. So that's kind of the morning routine. Then they would turn around and lead them. It says, let's pick up in, okay, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He doesn't herd them out. He doesn't drive them out. He leads them out. What has Christ done? What all did Christ do that was an act of leading for us? We are his sheep. How does he lead us? Any thoughts on that? Okay, he didn't have to do that, did he? I mean, God could have just left it alone at the Ten Commandments and y'all are on your own. Okay. Yeah, how to be the best we can be. How to live a good life. I'm thinking also about how to face death. You know, he was the firstborn, okay, from the grave. He led instead of drove, okay? And that's what these shepherds would do. Okay, in verse 5, it says, they won't follow, he's talking about the sheep, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. I guarantee you, it's the same way with cows, okay? If I went to Lloyd's house and tried to get his cows to do anything, they'd run to the other side of the pasture and stare at me like, who is this guy? And mine would do the same thing for him. I mean, they really do get that devoted to their shepherd. Okay. In verse 7, well, we'll read 6 too. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Or yours may say, will find safety. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm reading this morning, I'm teaching you out of the New Living Translation. Okay, he says, I tell you the truth again, doesn't he? Better pay attention. He says, I am, in other words, what? I'm God, okay? And I'm the gate for the sheep. So he places himself, not this time, not as the shepherd, but as the gate right here. Whatever keeps the bad stuff out and the good stuff in, okay? And I'm reminded in John 16, we find, we're not going to get into it thick and rich because that's part of another I am statement, but he says, no one gets to the Father except through me. I think he's hinting back at this in chapter 10. You can't get to the Father except through me. I am the gate. I'm the door. I'm the way. Okay? He says, I am God and I am the way. I'm the gate for, that's interesting too. He says, for the sheep. Now, who are the true sheep in verse 8? Okay, in verse 8, it says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. That's an interesting statement. We already know pretty much who the thieves and robbers were. But who are the true sheep? Okay, here's what I wrote. I said that the true sheep are those destined to follow Christ. Okay? Old Testament, there were prophecy after prophecy after prophecy about the Messiah, right? About Christ coming. And there were people who were looking forward to that. Remember when Jesus was on earth and he was teaching, the crowds, most of the crowds that followed around and wanted to hear him were looking for the Messiah. What were these false shepherds doing? Saying, oh, don't believe that guy. He's not who he says he is. We're the ones you should be looking up to. And that's, again, who Jesus is addressing here. The next thing I wrote in with verse 9, I said, being in Christ's fold, where he is the door, means spiritual safety. And it also means a good, abundant life. If we look at the door of where we're staying, where we're at, and we see Christ in the door or in the gateway, we can feel safe. And we can know that we have a much better life than a hired person, We're gonna, fixing to get into that. We've got a little time. So, I hope we understand now and can have painted this picture in your mind of Jesus being the door to this sheepfold, protecting his own, calling them by name, knowing them personally. We are his sheep. Now, in... Yeah.
We trust Jesus because he didn't do it for any reason.
Right. This next section, where the next section is, I'm God. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Let's, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yep. He knows how many hairs on your head. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. He says, I am the good shepherd. So the question is, what's the difference between a good shepherd and a regular old shepherd or a bad shepherd? What's the difference? Okay, verse 11 there says, the difference is that a good shepherd will sacrifice his life for the sheep. And that's where we get into talking about what you were talking about, Paul. In verse 12, it says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks and attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. We're going to stop right there for just a second. This is prophetic, isn't it? Because Jesus knows he's going to sacrifice his life for the sheep. And I don't know, you know, surely in... I mean, this was Bethlehem, Jerusalem, east of there, huge, huge sheep country for Israel. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the people that were listening to what he's saying, if they didn't know someone, a shepherd, who had actually died protecting his sheep. Because there were thousands and thousands of sheep in this country. And so this, you know what this kind of reminded me of? And I went back and looked. Back in 1 Samuel when, did I write that down? Yeah. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 and following. This is when David was going to stand up against Goliath. Everybody thinks, oh, David was, he was a little kid. No. He was a young man, but he wasn't 11 years old, okay? Like some of us like to think of in our minds. He wasn't that young. If you go back and read the story, David said, I can take this guy. He said, I have killed lions and bears when I was a shepherd. And he described how he killed. He said in one place, he said, I would grab them by the jaw and club them to death. if they, you know, if they attacked me, I would grab them by the jaw and club them. David wasn't an 11-year-old. David was a strong person. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't an old guy, but he was a young man, okay? And I can almost see David out there protecting his sheep. Man, I'm working on it right now. I've got a staff that I'm working on, and I've got a rod that I'm working on. It's so hard for me to find the exact right piece to make the rod, but the rod was probably, you know, somewhere in the about that long and maybe about that big around, and he probably had a thong through the a hole in one end or wrapped around a groove on one end, and it was used as an offensive weapon, a defensive weapon where he could defend himself or the sheep, or like David did, where he says club, he was clubbing with the rod, okay? And so the shepherd, though, made me think about David, because how many of you would stand up against a lion? Not even an African lion. How about a mountain lion? You know, how many of you would do that to protect the flock? Or a bear? A bear, you know? He had a staff and a rod. So this starts to mean something when he cared enough about his sheep. How much more do you think Jesus cares about us as his sheep? And he gave himself up for the sheep. He sacrificed his life. What's that now?
I said I keep thinking about how stupid sheep or cattle are. They'll just run off, even though the food and the water is here.
Yeah.
They'll just go. And yeah. So, you know, without the good shepherd, without somebody watching over them all the time, making sure they're safe.
Yep.
And so I relate that to us, because sometimes we really.
Well, let me tell you what my dad used to say. My dad said that sheep were born looking for a place to die. And I've seen this with my own eyes. A sheep would lay down, not paying attention. I got another story about that. And roll over on his back in a depression. They can't get up. They'll lay right there and die without somebody to go. They can't get up. I got a funny story right quick. In my carport, I've got a 1x12. I put it there a long time ago, above the rafters. And it's over where Beth keeps her Toyota. And we got a cat now, and that cat likes to jump up on the golf cart and jump up on that board, especially when the weather's bad or the wind's blowing, because she can just lay up there. Well, I went out there yesterday and looked, and there she was. Except she was just, you could tell she was going to sleep. And her back and her hindquarters, you could see them hanging off of that board. And I'm going, you stupid cat, you're going to fall. Well, I went in, and in a minute I hear this, boom. And I went out there, and she's standing there on that truck looking really goofy. Anyway. We're about out of time. In verse 14, once again, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This, we don't have time to get into it this morning, but this last part here of verse 16 is talking about the Gentiles. Jesus is once again giving a a prophetic utterance, if you will, something prophesying, telling the future here a little bit about the Gentiles coming and being part of his sheepfold, okay? Verse 14, to me, is just a real relationship between the good shepherd and the sheep. We need to do our part, don't we? Jesus has led us since he was on the earth and still leads us and still protects us. He sits in that doorway, and we need to listen to his voice. And when he calls us in, don't be dumb. Just go in. When he calls us out to do whatever we need to do, pay attention. Next week, like I said, we are going to be, what did I tell you? I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we'll do that next week. Thanks.